birth until 14 week. I love to come up here every week, every Sunday morning, because no matter what happened throughout the week, something good is going on here, right? And so I want to welcome all of you guys here again this morning. I want to welcome those of you that are joining us online. I want to remind you that there is a seat available for you any Sunday morning at 9:30. We have the best coffee. We have at least one person that gets up here, maybe multiple, that get up here every Sunday morning, and they make our coffee for us to make sure that everyone here can be awake. Which I think is a pretty good, I think that's a pretty important thing to do, right? So praise God for those that are serving in that way. This has been a little bit of a crazy week, right? We had this ridiculous storm, and maybe a lot of people didn't really get a lot of it, but for our place on Tuesday night, in the span of 5 minutes, it transformed our landscaping, and not in a good way. Everything got destroyed. It completely took out 3 trees and decimated the other 4 that were left on our property. So crazy. Our yard looks different compared to what it used to look like. You guys have to come look at it. It's insane. But what it did do is it gave me an opportunity to connect with some of my neighbors in a little bit of a different way, right? We were able to have some contacts. We were able to have some conversations specifically regarding trees, which isn't typically something you talk about with people, but we were able to talk a lot about trees, and I actually learned a little bit about the trees in our area. For instance, on my one side, they moved into the house back in 1980, and when they moved in, there were something like 26 trees on their property. Now, there's 2. That's a big difference. Now, it's 40 years, but that's a big difference, right? Some of them were taken out on purpose. Some of them were taken out by God. And so it's just been interesting. As a matter of fact, it was funny this last week. He said, the 2 trees I wanted gone are the only 2 trees still standing. So there you go. And then my other neighbor, I was talking to him, and he had 2 trees that got completely decimated, and he was telling us he planted those trees when his kids were little. He moved in the 90s, like 1998 or 97, something like that, late 90s, and they planted the trees. It took 20 years to become the beautiful trees that they were. They're not anymore, but they were beautiful trees. And it's interesting, it's kind of fun to think about that, right? To think about going back to the beginning, to understanding, to remembering what things looked like. And to think about the roots that were put into the ground by these trees that were then completely toppled in 5 minutes. I'm telling you, 5 minutes, and we had a hole in our yard because the roots got ripped out of the ground. It was crazy. It was insane. But anyway, it was interesting. And so now we have the task in our family, and not just our family, but our you know, the few families around us. We all have the task of deciding what the property is going to look like moving forward, right? Is it just going to be grass? Are we going to plant new trees? We have to actually think about, not just for us, what do we think will be nice, but we're planting for the future. Like, the people that are going to be living in the house after us, they have to see the things that we put into the ground today, right? And so we're thinking about that a little bit. We're making these decisions because it's fun. We get to start over. We get to start at the beginning. We have kind of a blank canvas to be able to play with. It's daunting. It's a big task, but it's kind of fun to be at the beginning, to be at the origins of what this yard is going to look like, right? And then that got me thinking, you know, as I'm talking to these people, as I'm learning a little bit about the history of the neighborhood and learning a little bit about the history of the trees specifically in the neighborhood, it got me thinking, you know, typically when we are invested in a topic, and this week I became very invested in trees, But typically when we're invested in a topic, we kind of enjoy learning about the roots, about the beginnings of that topic, right? We kind of enjoy getting a little bit of history. We learn that through our movies. Those of you that watch movies, and I know, you know, most of you guys are too good to watch. You don't waste your time like that. But me, I like to waste my time watching movies. So, you know, you look at movies and you have movies that give us prequels like Star Wars, right? They did the Star Wars in the 70s, and then in the 2000s, they're like, wait a minute, how did Darth Vader become Darth Vader? Well, we got to tell that story too, right? And then you have origin stories in the X-Men world. As a matter of fact, every modern superhero today, we have an origin story. Like, we know how they became the superhero. As a matter of fact, Spider-Man, we have like 15 origin stories of him. But it's fun to get to see the origin of things. Then go outside of the movie realm, and you have things like Little House on the Prairie. I just found this out because I'm not addicted to Little House on the Prairie, but my wife is. And so I found out that Little House on the Prairie has an origin story about Ma and Pa and how they became who they were. I thought that was kind of interesting. Then you have C.S. Lewis. He wrote The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. Everybody loves The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. But did you know that that's not the beginning of the story? There's more. He wrote this huge, rich information about how this became, how this started. And it's really interesting, right? You have Harry Potter. You've got all of these different literature, The Hobbit, all these different things that people want to know, how did this become what it is, right? This is a big, huge story, but how did it start? And that's kind of the question. How did it start? It's the question everybody has. So as we sit here this morning, I think it can be said, at least I hope it can be said, that we are all of us that are sitting here this morning, that we are invested in our relationship with the Lord and in our relationship with our church, right? I think that can be said, that we're invested, we are interested, and not just our church, but the global church, right? The big C, the capital C church, the believers all over the world. And so the question is, how did this come to be what it is today? How did we get started? How did we as a church, why are we here in Northern Illinois in 2021? So that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at, you know, what are the roots? And this is a question that I think is important to know where we came from. Now, we're not going to get into, you know, the last 2,000 years worth of church history, which is interesting, actually. You know, there's some dry spells, but there's a lot of really interesting things in church history. But we're not going to get into all of that. We're not going to get into the origins of the human race. We could keep going further and further back, but we're not going to get into all that. But what I do want to look at is the beginning of Christianity, the beginning of Christians, and how we became who we are as a church, meaning the global church, the big church, right? How did we get to be where we are today? And what does it mean for us as believers in 2021? Where did we come from, and what does it mean? And in order to do that, we have to look at the book of Acts. The book of Acts is kind of the origin story of the church, right? You have so much history in the book of Acts. And Jesus lived mostly prior to the book of Acts. We see in the very beginning of Acts, we're going to see a little bit of Jesus. But the book of Acts is essentially the origin story of the church, right? Before the book of Acts is the Gospels, and that's the story of Jesus. But the book of Acts is kind of this origin story of the church. That we get to see the stories of Paul, of Peter, of all of these churches all over the place, and how churches got planted. And so that's a little bit of what I want to look at here for the next, I don't know, 8 or 9 weeks, something like that. We're not going to go through the whole book. We're going to kind of just take a chunk of it and take a look and see what the church started out as. See how the church started out. So join me. We're going to go through Acts, and we're going to get this origin story. But in order to fully appreciate any origin story, you have to know a little bit of context. You have to know a little bit about what's going on. So the first thing we're going to look at is the fact that Acts is actually the second part of the story. I don't know if you guys know this or not. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But Acts is actually part two of the story. Part one is the book of Luke. Okay, and so it's actually, if you want to go further back, then you would read the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke was written for a very specific purpose, and that purpose is actually somewhat important if we understand the if we want to understand the purpose of Acts. We have to understand a little bit of Luke. So let's take a look at that. And really quick here, Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, it says, "Insomuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the world have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all these things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things that you've been taught." Okay, so here's the thing. This author, Luke, he's the author of Acts. He's the author of also the self-titled book of Luke, right? He wrote this down. Luke was a doctor, but he also traveled with Paul. Okay, he did a lot of, and so that's, he has a lot of information about Acts because he was actually there. Okay, and so Luke's goal here is not to rewrite what's already been written. Like, he didn't write this book in order to say, look, my way is better. That's not why he wrote this book. He wrote this book with a very specific purpose, and he dedicated it to this person, Theophilus. Okay, and so Luke's goal was to gather as much testimony as he possibly could gather. He got as much information as he possibly could get. And then he wanted to put it down in an orderly way so that people could understand exactly what happened. That was Luke's goal. The Gospel of Luke, the goal in the Gospel of Luke, the goal is to share the work of Jesus and how Jesus fulfilled the story of God, the story of Israel, and the story of the world. That was the goal of Luke. He wants to show how God fulfilled, or how Jesus fulfills all of this. Okay? And then in the second act, in the second volume, he titled that Acts. And Luke continues to write to the same Theophilus. Look at with me in Acts 1:1. It says, "In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach." Here we see that Luke is continuing his message to Theophilus. Now, it's somewhat unknown who Theophilus actually is. We don't know a lot about him, but we do know that his name is actually translated as either loved by God or lover of God. There's some disagreement as to how the word is translated, but it's one of those two things. And while this document was sent specifically to this man, we can understand, based on the name, that this document is actually meant for the whole Christian community. Actually, here's what I want you to think of Theophilus as. How I want you to kind of process this a little bit is that Luke dedicated this work to Theophilus. A lot of times we'll read books today, right? And in the front cover of the book, it'll say, "Dedicated to my mother," blah, 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 whatever, right? So that's what this is. This is Theophilus has, this book of Luke, this book of Acts has been dedicated to Theophilus, but it's for the entire Christian community, right? And so there's a guy by the name of John Polhill, and here's what he says. He says, though Luke surely intended his work for the whole Christian community, Theophilus may have received this special dedication for being a patron who helped defray some of the cost of Luke's writing. So Theophilus kind of had this special recognition because he helped get the job done. That's one idea of who Theophilus is, right? And Luke did this amazing job. In the first part of Acts, we're going to see this in a second, Luke did this just amazing job of summing up his entire first book. And that's the mark of a great writer. You can concisely just put together everything that he just said in just a few words. Let's look at that together, actually. He introduces this work to Theophilus, and then he sums this up. Look with me at Acts 1, 1 through 3. It says, In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all the things Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom. So here Luke has given this really brief synopsis of the gospel, right? But he doesn't stop here. He doesn't stop and say, okay, well, that was good stuff and peace out, right? That's not what he does. Luke seamlessly goes from telling you what you already know, because we know the story of Jesus. He goes from telling us what we already know to now introducing this brand new information. And this brand new information is, by the way, life-changing, world-altering information that Luke is about to introduce to us. And it's amazing. You see, as Luke has decided to complete the story after giving the story of the work of Jesus, he's given the story of the work of Jesus, and now he's like, but there's more that I need to tell. There's more that happened. There's more that's going on. And so I have to finish this work. I have to keep going. And so the next thing he did is he wanted to give the story of what happened next. In other words, as we know it, the Acts of the Apostles. Right? That's how we know the book of Acts. It's the Acts of the Apostles. However, listen, go with me here. It might be better titled the Acts of Jesus and the Spirit. Because none of what is about to happen, none of what we're about to read, happens without the Holy Spirit, without Jesus giving the Holy Spirit, sending the Holy Spirit. And so that title is just, it's changed a little bit, the Acts of Jesus and the Spirit, in order to better reflect to us here in 2021 what's actually going on, what's actually happening here. So the letter, this letter that Paul wrote, allows us to see the Holy Spirit's work in the formation of what we know today as the church. Actually, we know that Jesus planted the idea of the church. I don't know if you guys remember this, but Jesus is talking to his disciples, right? Turn with me over in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. This is Jesus' response to Peter. He says, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." So Jesus is like planting this idea that something bigger is coming. It's not just going to be a few disciples. It's not just going to be, 5,000 people that we're going to feed from time to time. Something more is going to happen, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, what's really interesting when Jesus said this, and this is just a little added geography lesson to you. This is really cool. I wish I had a picture of it, because that would be really cool. But when Jesus said this to Peter, get this, he was standing in front of what the pagan world would have recognized as the gates of hell. Like the place where Satan actually comes out of the world. Like that's where Jesus was standing. So as he's telling Peter, we're going to build a church, and the gates of hell, that thing right there that everybody else is scared of, that is not going to prevail against the word of my words, right? The word of God. It's amazing, right? And so Jesus plants this idea that something bigger, something better, something amazing is happening, or is going to happen. Now, Jesus has already told his disciples that something better is coming within them, right? I don't know if you guys remember this, but Jesus is talking with his disciples. He gets them together. Look in John chapter 13, verse 34. He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another." Now, a lot of people say, well, what do you mean it's a new commandment? Jesus has already said, love your neighbor as yourself, right? So how is this a new commandment? Well, it's a new commandment because Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's saying, look, you people, my followers, you are to love each other the way that I love you. Look, there's something unique. There's something special about the love between Christian and Christian. There's something that just can't be explained. And that's what Jesus is talking about here to his disciples. He's saying, look, in this, that you are a spiritual family. And I'm commanding, it's brand new, I'm commanding you to love each other. Look, Let's be honest, you don't have to necessarily like each other all the time. Like, sometimes we can get in a disagreement. But family loves each other. And that's what Jesus is telling them about. So we know that something new is happening. Something better is coming than what they've experienced so far. They've experienced a lot of amazing things, but something better, something newer, something amazing is coming. And this is the information we have. This is what Luke goes into this conversation with, knowing that we already know that these things are coming. We already know that something called the church is going to come, and it's going to be amazing. We already know that Christians are supposed to love each other with a different kind of love, with a special, unique kind of love. We already know that. This is what we're going into the conversation with. But Luke is about to give us something new, something amazing that we're supposed to do with this information. We still need to understand it, right? We need to understand a little bit more. And the best way to understand something, frankly, is to look at the Scripture and just see what the Scripture actually says. So that's what I want to do this morning. Let's take a look at what I'm calling the opening scene, okay? The opening scene. So I want us to have a little bit of context as to what's happening, and that's what we just talked about. So we can understand where we are in the story of Jesus. Jesus has been born. Jesus has lived a completely sinless life. Jesus has been arrested and beaten as a completely sinless man. Jesus was crucified, buried, and rose again from the dead. After this, Luke just reminded us that after this happened, that Jesus presented himself to over 500 witnesses that were still alive at the writing of these books. So if this wasn't true, these over 500 witnesses could have come forward and been like, wait a minute, that guy Luke, he's lying. I didn't see that. That didn't happen. But over 500 witnesses confirmed that Jesus actually did come. They verified his resurrection. And then you have Jesus making this promise to the disciples that are with him. And this is an amazing promise. Join me in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. And while staying with them, this is talking about Jesus, remember, and while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Did you see what's going on here? Something really big is happening here, and I want to make sure you guys are catching this. Something big. Jesus is telling the disciples, first of all, not to leave Jerusalem. This is important, right? They have to stay where they are. Jesus is directing the disciples to sit tight for just a little while longer because he had already promised them something. Back in Luke, remember Luke wrote this, back in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, he says, "And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." So Jesus is telling them, just hang tight a little bit in Jerusalem. Just wait there for right now, because something big is going to happen. But things are about to get a little bit hairy. Things are about to get real for these men. Because up until now, the disciples have been following John's teaching of baptizing new converts, right? Like, that's just what they do. They're baptizing for repentance. And Jesus confirms that. But then he also says that they're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days. That something new is about to happen. Something amazing is about to happen to these men. Well, that brings up a lot of questions for the disciples, right? And they start asking, well, is this when you're going to restore the kingdom of Israel, right? That they still have in their mind that the nation of Israel, the kingdom of Israel, is about to be the kingdom, right? Like, we're about to politically be in charge. So Jesus, is this when you're going to do it? This isn't something that's happening at that moment, though. It's not even something that's going to happen in their lifetime. But they don't understand that. So Jesus tells them that it's not really their concern, right? He says, look, don't worry about that. But then he gives them a job. And he gives them a job to do, something to focus on, something to do. So here Jesus is speaking with a group of 11 guys that have spent the last 3 years walking life with him, seeing all these amazing things, watching miracles happening, listening to his teaching, right? They're watching all of this. They've laughed. They've grieved with Jesus. They scattered, denied, and doubted Jesus as he moved from arrest to resurrection. And now Jesus is speaking about leaving them, but before he goes, he needs to give them an assignment. Before he goes, he needs to tell them, here's what you're supposed to do next. Here's the next step of your life, the next step of your work, right? He gives them something to look forward to, and so here's what he tells these men. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. They will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to them. They will receive the power to do the job that they've been called to do when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. This is a shift in how things have been done. This is a shift in how they're going to be done moving forward. Like, there is a change that is taking place that Jesus is telling them about. And while Jesus is speaking to the disciples here, Jesus is speaking about the very beginning of the church. This is like the starting point. This is the roots. This is the planting of the actual thing that we know today as the church. Jesus is talking to these men. In the very beginning, you see, Jesus is not only giving a job to the disciples. I want you to pay attention to this. Jesus is not only giving a job to the disciples. Jesus is giving a job to the church. Jesus is not just giving a job to the disciples. That means that you and I, as members of the church, are being given this same task. That you and I, sitting here today, as members of the global church, as Christians, if you are here this morning and you say, I am a Christ follower, I am a Christian, I have committed my life to Christ, then this command, this rule, this job that Jesus is giving is for you just as much as it was for John. The passage, this job that Jesus just told to the disciples is a job that will be fulfilled by the church. And the questions that the disciples ask Jesus will not be answered. It doesn't even matter until this job is actually complete. Until this job is finished. The disciples asked when Israel is going to be restored. And Jesus answers them by telling them that they have a job to do. And so they said, but teacher, when is? And Jesus says, get to work. That's basically what happens here, right? Now, I've heard throughout my life, and you know, you guys probably have heard this too. I've heard many people throughout my life asking about when Jesus is going to come back, right? And I've heard a lot of people say that they know when Jesus is going to come back. They're like, well, I know it's going to be on, you know, June 12th, 2021 or whatever, right? People just come up with random dates, I think, sometimes. But we know that they're all wrong. Because of Jesus' words right here, the disciples. It is not for you to work. It is not for you to know. Now get to work. It's not for you to know. Now get to work. Jesus has given a worldwide mission. But he didn't just give a job to do. He didn't just say, okay, here's your job, now go do it. He said, here's your job, now I'm going to give you the tools to make it easier for you. Right? I have a motto in my life, work smarter, not harder. I think Jesus kind of has the same motto because he's like, here's a job. This is an incredibly daunting job that there's no way you can possibly do. So I'm going to give you the tools that you can actually make it happen with. Right? I'm going to give to you the Holy Spirit so that this job can be fulfilled. Jesus tells the disciples right here that they will receive power when they receive the Holy Spirit. This entire book of Acts, this entire origin story of the church, is only established because it's the power of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. This entire book of Acts is all about Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It's all about how Jesus interacts with everyday man, with you and me. It's all about how the Holy Spirit uses regular people to do the job that he's called us to do. That's what the entire book of Acts is about. This is the origin story of why we gather as local body of believers. This is the beginning. This is the bottom level of why we do what we do. We do it to encourage each other in our own walk, right? Like, we are an encouragement to each other. We do it to encourage each other, but also, more importantly, so that we can encourage each other to this global mission that God has given to us. Look, here's the reality. Jesus said, you're supposed to spread to the ends of the earth, to the ends of the world. That doesn't mean my bedroom or my living room or my backyard, right? To the ends of the earth actually means to the ends of the earth. So what about today here in 2021? It can be said, I think this is a fair statement, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's a fair statement. Most people around us, at least in Northern Illinois, most people around us have probably heard at least the name Jesus, right? Most people know a concept of Jesus. Although I will tell you that I have had conversations with people where they have said, what do you mean Jesus is supposed to be a savior? What's that about? Who is God? Like, I've had those conversations with people right here in America, right? So just because we live in America doesn't mean that everyone knows who Jesus is. But in general, most people have at least heard the name of Jesus. But here's my question. Have the people around us in Leaf River, have the people around us heard about your story with Jesus? Have the people around you heard about your story with Jesus? You see, we can't simply say that those in the U.S. have heard about Jesus if we're not actively being a part of doing the telling, can we? Can we really, as Christians today, as human beings today, can we really put our trust in everybody else to do the job that we were called to do? No. You see, Jesus didn't say, others will be my witnesses, did he? As he's standing with these disciples, he didn't say, and others will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. No, he said, and you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. You will be my witnesses. We can spend time talking about the Holy Spirit, and we will. But this morning, I want to ask you a question. And I want you just to answer this privately, you in your heart, you and the Lord. When is the last time that you personally talked with someone that is not a Christian about Christ? In other words, let me say it this way. When is the last time that you personally participated in the mission of the church? When is the last time that you personally it's really easy. I think it's really easy for us to say somebody else will do it. Right? We do that. Some of us maybe do that at work sometimes, right? Well, somebody else will do it. I know as kids we do that. Those of you that are kids, we were all kids at one time. I know that we used to think, well, mom will do it. That's typically, it's not, well, dad will do it. It's, well, mom will do it, right? So we all have that kind of ingrained mentality. Somebody else will do it. But the reality is, the question that we have to ask ourselves is, when is the last time that you personally participated in the mission of the church? Because if you're not personally participating in the mission of the church, can you say that you're actually following Jesus? That's a hard question, right? But it's also a reality. This is what Jesus called us to do. So that's the question I want to leave with you this morning. And I want to ask you to consider this question while we're going to spend a moment in prayer here in a minute. And I want you to consider this question. When's the last time that I personally participated in the mission of the church? And I'm not talking about the mission of LRBC. I'm talking about the mission of the global church. I'm talking about the mission of telling others and being Jesus's witnesses. Because that's what we're called to do, to be his witness. But then I'd like you to take this question with you this week. Ponder this question as you just go about your day, your weekly stuff, your daily stuff, as you go about the things that you do on a normal basis. Ponder this question. When's the last time that I participated in the mission of the church? Now, that can be hard. That can be a hard, especially in today's world, it can maybe be a hard introduction of a topic. And so I want to give you two easy statements that you can do just to get started, just to maybe see if a conversation could happen. Okay, two easy statements. Questions, really. Here's the first one. Do you happen to go to church anywhere? Like, I was just wondering. Like, I go to this church in Leaf River, small little town. It's a great, the pastor is amazing. That's where I go. I was just wondering if you happen to go anywhere. He's the best looking guy in town. Don't tell him that, because then they'll know you're a liar. Or here's the next question, and that, just let that conversation go, right? Like, then maybe they say, yeah, I go to the Evangelical Free Church in Mount Morris. Oh, that's fantastic. That's a great church over there, right? Or maybe they say, well, I used to go to church, but yeah, I don't really go to church anymore because whatever. Well, you should come sometime with me. Just let the conversation kind of happen. Here's the next question. Next question you can ask somebody, just to get the conversation going. And this works really well, especially if someone just tells you something that happened to them that happens all over Facebook, right? Like, those of you that are on Facebook, you know that Facebook is the place that you get to know about everything in the entire world, right? So here's the thing. When somebody says, this horrible thing happened to me, here's the question. Would you mind if I just prayed for you real quick? I just take 10 seconds. Would that be offensive to you? Now, I'll be honest. I have had some people say, no, I'd really rather you not pray for me. Okay. Then, I'm going to do it later, but I'm not going to pray with you right then and there, right? I'm going to respect that. And I've had other people say, that would be amazing. I used to have a friend. Well, I still have a friend, but a friend. But a guy by the name of Steve in Lafayette. And he would tell us these stories. He was an auto body estimator, right? So people, after their horrible accidents, would come in, and he would be the guy that would estimate to get their car fixed. And he would tell us these stories that were just amazing, because he would have people come in, and they were in, that's one of the worst days that you experience when you just had a horrible accident. And he would just get to know people a little bit, and then he would just ask them, hey, would you mind if I prayed with you real quick? And he shared so many stories of people breaking down in tears because they didn't think anybody even cared. Because they were looking for some kind of sign that the Lord was still there. And him asking just that simple question, would you mind if I prayed with you, opened up a massive conversation. So that's two simple statements to get you. As you go throughout your week, as you're talking to a coworker, as you're talking to the cashier at the grocery store, hey, do you happen to go to church anywhere? I was just wondering, just curious, and would you mind if I prayed with you real quick? It won't take long. I've heard other stories, and I'm not going to say names, but I've heard another story this week, actually. Last week. Anyway, there's somebody in this church that told me a story, and it was really cool. They said that they went to get peaches and ended up having a prayer service in the front yard of these people's house. How cool is that? And it's as easy as, would you mind if I prayed with you real quick? And just let the Lord take the conversation. You see, we've been given the power of the Holy Spirit to do the job that He's called us to do. So our job is just to do it. We have the tools that we need. So that's the start. This is episode one, okay? We're going to go on like a 10 series. Those of you that have Netflix, you know, you get the episode thing. You get like 10 episodes and then it's done maybe forever. I don't know. But so this is episode one of Acts, of the book of Acts, an origin story of the church. And so let's come back next week and see what happens next. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for today. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to be a part of your mission. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to have meaningful conversations with people around us as we seek to serve others, but more to care for others, to be your witnesses, Lord. Lord, we ask this morning as we close, we ask that you will give us guidance as we go about our daily lives. Lord, frankly, convict us this week of moments that we should be engaging in a conversation about you. Lord, convict us of those opportunities that are missed that we should be taking in order to complete the mission that you've given us to do here as the church. Specifically, Lord, as you have planted us right here in Leaf River, Lord, we ask that you give us opportunities to impact those in Leaf River with you. We thank you because we know that this isn't on our own, but that this is done through your power, through the Holy Spirit. And so we thank you for that gift that you've given us to encourage us, but to empower us, Lord. Lord, as we close this morning, we just ask that you will give us a great day, give us a beautiful day to celebrate together as a family, as a spiritual family here in Leaf River, as we go to have our picnic in a little bit. Lord, we just thank you for that opportunity that you've given to us. In your name we pray. Amen. Hey, this morning we're going to close. Nathaniel, you can just go ahead and come on up. After...